pray. Heavenly Father, we're very happy that you're so gracious to us tonight to let us come together to worship your name. And whilst worshiping in spirit and in truth, Lord, it's wonderful grace given unto us, and we're thankful for it. We pray now that you'll help us in the study of your word, that we might know these things of this hour, Lord. The church is supposed to know the hour it's living in, its place, Lord. The deep, mysterious secrets of God and the revelation of the end time of the person, God himself. Revelation of the bride, Lord, all of these things coming in together, which we will believe, and this will be the faith of this hour, Lord, and we are trusting that we're a part of it. We give thee praise, Lord, in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to recap tonight what we went into on Sunday morning. That is the recap of the day of the Lord and the Lord's day. Now, we're going to read, of course, first of all, in 1 Thessalonians 5, just that second verse, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And we have a reiteration over here in 2 Peter, the third chapter. And it says in verse 10, the first part, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." But over here in Revelation chapter 1, in verse 10, after two mentions, the day of the Lord, it says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." Now, of course, it would be casually observed that when you have the possessive or genitive case there, it wouldn't much matter whether you said Lord's, D apostrophe S, or whether you said day of the Lord. It would show possession, and I guess people would automatically think it is one and the same. However, according to the students of Scripture, those two phrases are actually different one from the other. And according, as I say, to the Bible students of repute, the Lord's day is in contradistinction to man's day. Now, that's the first thing we understand. The Lord's day, capital L-O-R-D, apostrophe S, it's in contradistinction to man's day. Now, man has had 6,000 years for his day and is still having his day, though unknown to him or unemphasized to his consciousness. Man's day is running out. It is being cut off at this moment. It is in process of ending. It has to, according to the seventh seal, which we'll read later on. Now, the day of the Lord is an expression signifying God's interposition, or God interposing himself, or God taking up a position both against his people or for his people as the occasion demands. Now, we want you to just get that thought now, because it's a twofold thought in there. The day of the Lord is an expression signifying God's interposition, God himself interposing himself both against his people or for his people as the occasion demands. He's either for the people or against them. God is the enemy of the people, or he's the enemy of the enemies of the people, his own, according as the occasion demands. Now, to understand this, we take the case of Israel sinning and rebelling against God, transgressing by idolatry and disobedience, which we see an awful lot of through the Old Testament, and we see God coming against them. They have become the enemy of God, and in there, and that's the Lord's day as taking his position against them, or the day of the Lord, I beg your pardon. All right, we go to Amos, the fifth chapter, and verses 1 through 20, we're reading, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel." Now, God is against Israel. "The virgin of Israel is fallen." She's left the word. "She shall no more rise, for she is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went up by 1,000 shall leave 100. That which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely be the captive, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, then ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Judah and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars in Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name, that strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiler shall come forth against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Forasmuch therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye build houses of hewn stone, but you'll not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it's an evil time. You got the same thing with the mafia. Politics. People are afraid to even go to law. You don't think anything's new under the sun, kiddo, just because you're here in America. They stunk back in Israel, they stink in America. And they're the people of God. Hogwash. It's wrong somewhere. Hate the evil, seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord of hosts, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus. Wailing shall be in all the streets. They shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. And they shall call the husband to mourning, and such as are skillful lamentation to wailing. And all vineyards shall be wailing, for I shall pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. You thinking? Just keep thinking. Got a parallel in this hour. Everybody's going to go to the rapture. Hallelujah. Millions now living will never die. Glory to God. Oh, the great day of the Lord. Hallelujah. Darkness. You do what you want. The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Went to the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? That's God against the people. And notice verse 18, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 2, 6 to 27. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Israel, of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east. And soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end to their treasures. Their land is full of horses, neither is there any end to their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands. They made what their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, the great man humbles himself, therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust, for the fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty. Now, these are the children of God, you know. They've gone into idolatry, same as we have. Rich increase in goods and don't lack a thing. Rich man, poor man, beggar man, a thief, they're all in there. The lofty looks of men should be humbled. The haughtiness of men should be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty. And everyone that's lifted up, and he shall be brought low. That's Malachi 4, 1 and 2. You know that, don't you? And upon the cedars of Lebanon, that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan. That's speaking of powerful men, upon all high mountains, high organization, upon all the hills that are lifted up, every high tower, every fence wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, upon all pleasant pictures, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, the haughtiness of men shall be made low, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, the idols he shall utterly abolish. They shall go into the holes of the rocks, into the caves of the earth, for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. You hear the same thing in Revelation, don't you? That day shall a man cast his idols of silver and idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. So say, this isn't working, is it? They go to the cliffs of the rocks, to the top of the ragged rocks, for the fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty, when he rises to shake terribly the earth. See, she from men is best in nostril, from whence where any to be accounted of. It tells you right there what's going to happen when people refuse to give preeminence to God. They're going to find that everything they depended on isn't worth anything to them. Now in here you'll find a purging. This is significant of destruction, death, and a purging. Now, the very sentiment of what we are reading in the Old Testament is found in the New by measure of a warning. Which warning will not be heeded, and judgment must come. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, speaking of the time of the rapture. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, as when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, claiming their refuge is in God, when it is not, when it is in the devil, sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a little child, and they shall not escape. Shall not escape from whom? The Lord in his day. And he's talking to the church. Not talking out here to a bunch of hell-bound sinners that don't know A from Z. You'll get to some of that later on. You'll find out who the enemy really is. What you're going to see is this perverted bunch of church members. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day, the day of the Lord, which certainly is contingent to the portion above where the living and the dead get out of here. You're not in darkness, that day, the day of the Lord, should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Verse 9, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. But you will notice, he says in here, therefore let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober, for they that sleep in the night. They that be drunk are drunk in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet to open salvation. Now you notice in here the warning is sent out. As many people preach their great evangelistic sermons, God is your friend today, but your enemy tomorrow. I wonder if they realize how far extending that is. Again, we saw in 2 Peter the same warning beginning in the 3rd chapter, verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing that this verse, there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after own lust. Now that's at the time when a vindicated prophet comes on the scene in 2 Peter 1, about 16 to 21. And they're going to be completely oblivious to it. In fact, those that I would say many who claim to be aware haven't the foggiest as to what's really going on. Where is the promise of His presence? Now that word where really has to do with the physical. That which is translated into material. Like, where, Lord? Well, He said where the body is. But they've got this so much in the physical that they can't understand the spiritual presence. That the Father's fell asleep, all things continue as were. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of the Lord the heavens were of old and the earth standing in the water. And what they're willingly ignorant of is that something has been brought to their attention which lines with Scripture, which verifies the day of judgment, both to the purging of the church and the world and Israel and so on, but they refuse to listen to it. Now, let's go to Hebrews 10 a second and look at verse 26, I think it is. You notice it says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Now, but a fearful looking forward. Now you notice, those who turned down the blood in Egypt died because they could not believe the truth concerning it. They could not believe what was going on in their hour. The same thing obtains today. That those who willfully sin is because they turned down what God is revealing or whereby God is interpreting His Word into manifestation, which is the interpretation. And He lets them know that there is coming a day of judgment. And He said, the Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering, trustworthy, not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. All right. So the day of the Lord of the Old Testament has a principle which does not lose its power in the New Testament. And we see God coming against those who are His people, who call upon His name. But as all Israel is not Israel, and the seed of Abraham is reckoned according to promise, so the church is not all bride, but bride is reckoned according to foreknowledge, election, and predestination. Now, the second thing we saw about the day of the Lord is not only is it a time of darkness and trouble for Israel, gross darkness upon the people, gross darkness upon the church. God has to deal with them according to their rebellion, their lack of sincerity, their whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. But also, at that time, unfortunately, the real enemies of God are not necessarily heathen per se, as we reckon heathen. But the real enemy has always been within the gate. Israel never had one enemy on the outside until they deteriorated on the inside. And you will notice here that God rises up against whoever is the enemy of the election. Now let's go to Joel, the second chapter. We go to 30 and 32. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke, sun be turned into darkness, moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. All right? Now, notice over here in Malachi 4, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them up, that the Lord of hosts shall leave them neither root nor branch, but unto you that fear my name. Now notice at the same time slot, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and you'll go forth as calves of the stall and grup, and tread down the wicked, for there'll be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do the treading down and turning into ashes for you. For behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and at that time of darkness. So what do you want the day of the Lord for? It's going to bring darkness, he said. But it's also going to bring light, because he said he will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, and thereby there will be a way of escape. Now we go back to Isaiah the 13th chapter. And in Isaiah 13, 1 to 11, we're reading, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of multitude in the mountains, like as a great people, the tumultuous noise of the kings of the nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven. Even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Now you will notice that the day of the Lord always has destruction in it. Judgment. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. That's right back to the book of Revelation. And they shall be afraid, pangs of sorrow shall take hold of them. They'll be in pain as the woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one another, and their faces as flames. That sounds like the atomic bomb, doesn't it? Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. Now that's the earth being purged, as well as the church in Israel being purged. See, God's always had his way of doing things. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. So how are you going to have them in the millennium having children? For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall give not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth. The moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. And will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Now, that's said right over there in Acts, the second chapter also. Now, Zechariah 14, one to three. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided amidst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem in the battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravaged, half the city go into captivity. The residue of the people shall not become a city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. All right? You can see from here what we're looking at, that God will deliver according to the principle that lies in the day of the Lord. There will be a destruction, but there will also be a deliverance. Now, that's like what we got over here in Psalm 27 that Brother Branham used for the setting of the rapture. First five verses, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? No one but God, of course. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, of this will I be confident. One thing I desire the Lord, and that will I seek after. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now, you'll notice we read the same thing already over here in 1 Thessalonians, that fifth chapter, which is terribly important to understand at the time of the day of the Lord, which will be, or part of it will be, the great tribulation, that the bride will not be in it. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, which starts with the blood, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and the end time revelation of the prophet at the time of the rapture, of the shout, the voice, and the catching up. Now, let's try to put this together, if we can, reading from Patmos Vision, page 95. Now, John was transmitted from the Isle of Patmos in the Spirit over into the Lord's day. This is the day of man. Men are fighting. But the day of the Lord will come when these kingdoms will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Then there'll be the great millennium. Now, you can see right there in contradistinction to man's day, the Lord's day is coming on the scene. But you'll notice, watch how it gets there and what's involved. The Lord's day, the day of his coming, his judgment, that'll be the Lord's day. Now going on, this is the day of man. That's the reason they slam you around and do what they want with you. They call you now holy, rolling fanatic, but there'll come a time, see, that they won't do that. They'll scream and fall at your feet. The Bible said in Malachi 4, you'll even walk on the ashes after they're burnt up. Now, when is this going to take place? We're coming back in Revelation 19. Nobody's going to be falling at our feet before we get out of here in a rapture, as far as I know the Scripture. They'll be burnt up, leave them neither root nor branch. Exactly what the Bible says, the righteous shall walk upon the ashes of the wicked. That's exactly. They'll not be left root or branch, nothing to come back to. And they'll be done. Now this is man's day, man's doings, man's works, man's church, man's idea, but the day of the Lord is coming. Now, we can see here that Brother Branham agrees that the Lord's day is in contradistinction to man's day. Today is man's day, man's doing, man's work, man's church, man's ideas, but Malachi 4 will change that. Now, I'm going to read to you from an expanded translation by Dr. Wiest in 1 Corinthians 4 to give you a better idea of what you're looking at. Now, Paul is speaking here. In this manner, let a man measure and classify us as servants of Christ and as those who have been entrusted with the mysteries of God and their disposition. Now, how'd you like that from the plain Greek? Paul's quite a fat mouth here. He gets up and he flexes his spirit. I said, bless God, you look at me. He said, I got the mysteries of God and they're at my disposition. How do you like that? Let your tongue hang out. Oh, come on. Interesting. If Paul were here, they would kill him. You talk about the oath of Columbus perpetrated on him by these so-called sweet Christians. Yeah, the mysteries of God and their disposition. I got some $20 bills in my wallet, and they're at my disposition. I'll do what I want with those $20 bills. Yeah, I'll take you all to dinner if you want to go someplace the fool man chews down here tonight. Not very many. I could treat all of you, as long as they stick within the hamburgers. Well, it's at my disposition. Well, that's what it says. Language is language. Under these circumstances, it is further sought in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, Paul lets you know he's going to be faithful to God in the revelation when he does it. But with me, it is a very small thing that I am being put on trial by you,
by the, in brackets, judicial day of mankind. I want you to get this. Because that's what you're looking at. The day of the Lord is judicial. This is man's day, which is judicial. What man's judgment says, man's ideas, man's church, man's thing, man's this, what he looks at and judges according to his own knowledge, which is a physical thing. Remember, spiritual comes through spiritual. Now, but with me it's a very small thing. I'm being put on trial by you, by the judicial day of mankind. In fact, I do not even put myself on trial, for I am not conscious of even one thing against myself. But not by this means do I stand justified. He who puts me on trial is the Lord. Wherefore stop exercising censorious judgment, the reference to anything, before the epical strategic season. Until that time, whenever the Lord may come. Okay? Who will both turn the light on the hidden things of darkness and bring out in the open the counsels of the heart. Then to each one shall there come his praise from God. Now he's telling you, there's an epical day coming when man's judgment ceases, and this prophet William Branham pinpoints it at this hour. That you're looking at the book of Revelation open to that period. Where Paul categorically says, I don't have any sense of guilt. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. I don't stand in that. Now here's what I've been warning people all along. I've been telling you there is no sense of guilt since a certain date. I saw the same thing in Brother Ben. But that doesn't mean anything. Because that's an experience. Anybody can have an experience. The Trinitarian idolaters can say the same thing. Let me tell you something. I don't depend on experience. I depend on word. I don't have one feeling about myself to justify or condemn. Now, it's going to be strange I'm talking this way, but I want you to know something. I'm part of whatever hour this is. A sleeper fooler, or I'm going to walk into something. Now, I know I get hated for talking like this. That doesn't bother me at all. I'm hated anyways. I have a field. I have a ball. Have a big ball. Because Brother Branham said, Abraham didn't even look at what he did. Because Paul said, God says, I am righteous. And it has gotten to a place where we're dealing strictly with reality. Now, you can tell then from what I read here. Man's day is a day of where man judges everything according to how and what and where and when he wants to judge. And he's abysmally a failure because there's no way he can do it. Now, there's coming a day which is the Lord's day. Now, Brother Branham said here, they'll be done. Now, he said, let me get it here now. The Lord's day, the day of his judgment, his coming, his judgment, that'll be the Lord's day. Now, right here, he said they say anything they want to do. They pull anything in the book. And he said it's man's doing. It's man's church. It's man's idea. And man is in the day of his judgment. And he says, you people don't dare believe that brand of message. And even amongst us say, yeah, you don't dare believe in that Prussia junk. That's a lot of puke. That's a cult. That's fine. That's fine. I don't know who came down. I don't know what came down. I want to know who they thought the prophet talked to. Now, his personal take to me privately, that Perry Green let go around the world, said, "Now, Lee, you know, we haven't had a prophet to talk face-to-face with God for 2,000 years since the time of Paul till now." Now, these preachers around the country, they say they believe the prophet. What do they believe? Now, it's this hour. Put it down the road if you want. That's your business. And they can do what they want. But Brother Branham said that Lord's Day, he said, has got to come and take over a man's day. And the righteous are going to walk on the ashes of the wicked. Well, Elijah's supposed to be here at the same time that that great one comes down. I want to ask the question of what's going on. I understand, according to Scripture, the prophet himself said that Hebrews 4:12 was in full effect. For the word of the Lord is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, not its sight, but his. And all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now you tell me that Brother Branham got this Bible here, opened that Bible, and he read every man's heart. He did not. It was when that one became present. I want to tell you, the Logos is not this Bible. That's printed form. The Logos is a person. See? We're not dealing with any of these things we dealt with 15 years ago and we couldn't figure things out. And I was as confused as anybody, but I knew jolly well something was there today. I know what's there. Now, today is man's day. Man's work, man's church, man's judging. But it's running out. Men fighting. As he said here, paragraph 131, but the day of the Lord will come when these kingdoms, which they're fighting for, their organizations, principalities, all the things, will be the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and then there'll be the great millennium. The Lord's day. And the day of his coming is judgment. That'll be the Lord's day. So he put an awful lot in there that is significant of the Lord's day that absolutely is identical to the day of the Lord. Right? Certainly. Now Malachi 4 is going to change that. When all is gone but the groom, the bride, and the 144,000, and whosoever, and whatsoever, you know, he might want to have there with him. Now, I believe that is then what we're looking at. Revelation 19:11, where he comes with the saints to take the world over, to destroy the kings of this earth, and establish his own. Now, here's what I want to try to get to you according to my understanding on this subject. Though the day of the Lord is a day of decisive action and judgmental overthrow, which actual overthrow might be 24 hours or far less, there is still a period of time that goes with it and is recognized that that so-called day of the Lord can be much, much longer than 24-hour period. It could go over a period of time which would be called an epical season or a certain time slot that must run its course. Now, to understand that and see what we're saying, let's go to Zephaniah. We're going to read 8-18. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, all that such are clothed with strange apparel. So anybody that doesn't have the winning garment on is too bad. And the same day I'll punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. See, they're still right at this time. They're still fighting each other to take over. They're still going to be fighting. They'll be some group. The rest will be making altar calls and filling the altars with people. No more getting saved than nothing. It'll come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, there shall be a noise of a cry from the fish gate and a howling from the second, and the great crash in the hills, how the inhabitants of Maktesh and all the merchant people are cut down, all that bear silver are cut off. Come to pass at that time, I'll search Jerusalem with candles, punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. That's the same thing you said in 2 Peter. All things continue. There's no big change. We've got to sit here and watch. Therefore, their goods should become a booty, their house a desolation. They shall also build houses, not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. See, merchandising keeps going on. The day of the Lord is near, it is near. Now, that's the great day of the Lord. And hasteth greatly even the voice of the day of the Lord. And mighty men shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of dark clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. In other words, there's going to be a cry against organization, all these big things. And I'll bring distress upon men, they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood be poured out as dust and their flesh as dung. That sounds like the atomic bomb again. Neither their silver nor their gold shall they deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land be devoured by fire, the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of them that dwell in the land. All right. You'll notice that that is a period of time because they're building and planting. It's not a 24-hour period. Though the wrath, the ultimate decisive action, may not take any more than minutes. And again, it may. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 14, 1-7. Behold, the day cometh, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem into battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, half sitting in captivity, the residue shall not be cut on the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Now he tells you the day of the Lord, these things will be taking place. Then the day of the Lord, the decisive battle, one of the days of those particular days. His feet stand upon Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There'll be a very great valley, half the mountain be removed toward the north and half toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee. Like as ye fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Now he's telling you all these things are going to be going on before Revelation 19:11 comes. Seated on white horses. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known of the Lord, not day nor night. It'll come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Now that's been going on for years. And this is the day of the Lord. So I begin to see why the judgments of God are in the earth and the sixth seals open in 1964. March. See? All right. Now, let's look again at verse 6 and 7. It'll come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, and it shall be one day. Whatever comes to pass and how long is going to be one day. One respite given us to get light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He's going to get me out of here. You are not unaware of that day. It won't overtake you as a thief. You're not children of night. You're of light. God's obligated to give light. He said, you're the call for the day of the Lord. Do you understand it's darkness? You understand what you're asking for when you're praying? For the Lord to come and do so and so and so and so? Well, they've been praying for years. Like Brother Branham said, these couple that wrote the Moors, that wrote the Herald of Hope. Oh, God, send a prophet. Oh, God, send a prophet. Oh, God, send a prophet. So the prophet came in their house and ate. Oh, God, send a prophet. Oh, God, send a prophet. Oh, God, send a prophet. So the prophet ate and went out. Oh, God, send a prophet. Oh, God, send a prophet. Oh, God, send a prophet. Oh, shut up. Ben just did not said that he shouldn't have said it. He should not have said it. His wife tried to stop him. He's not half as smart as he thought he was. There's people now that never land. The thought they knew all the answers. That's why we don't have answers. God has the answers. That day. What that day? The day of the Lord coming. The spoil. The feet standing. The people running. There'll be a period of time. Do we get a chance to escape it? The prophet said that Zechariah 14, 6 and 7 was now. In this gloomy period. What's going on anyway? The prophet told us. And notice again, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Once the revelation breaks. Okay, 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, it tells you, we've read it many times, scoffers. Willing ignorant. They don't realize that the day of the Lord brings judgment. It brings darkness. It brings tragedy. But it brings light and deliverance and a new residence. A new settling down, a new settlement, a new culture, a new civilization. Now, let's get the background of 2 Peter 3. 3 to 12, especially in verse 12, it said, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire be dissolved, that was not with the fervent heat. Now that's the present. Looking for and hasting. Now, when do you look for and the hasting? You get it over here in 2 Peter, 1st chapter, after the stature of perfect man, said if you get this and the church, the seventh church age comes to it, to God himself, which is love, verse 11, for so an entrance unto you, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, here's what you're looking for. You're looking for the abundant entrance. You're looking for the kingdom. And Peter said, this is the truth that is under scrutiny. This kingdom teaching. They're coming. Now, he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I've not followed cunningly devised fables. When I made known to you the preview of this kingdom, when I saw by vision this kingdom coming into view upon the Holy Mount. But he says in verse 18, the word of prophecy is far more sure than this, because this was only a vision and the real thing is coming. Now, we have the word of prophecy made sure, and you better take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn, the day star rise in your heart. Now, he tells you the conditions that bring about the abundant entrance into the kingdom at the hour that this prophecy really comes to pass. Not a vision, and not a prefigure, but the real McCoy. In verse 20, knowing this, that no prophecy in the Scripture is of any private interpretation, but prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, But holy men of God speak as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. He tells you it's going to take a prophet to bring this to pass. As Paul said, to me was committed the mysteries and the disposition. To William Branham, Elijah is committed this prophetic knowledge that's to break at the end time, in the day of the Lord and in the Lord's day. Now notice verse 1, which chapter 2 shouldn't even be in the chapter form. But there were false prophets among the people. Now he tells you that there were false prophets, but here you've got to look up for false teachers. Because it's the teachers that are going to take you away from the prophet, because, as Brother Branham said, Satan can't duplicate this. There's no way. There's nobody going to rise up and follow William Branham. Nobody. They can lie and fap around like these other guys do, but they always hit a snag. They always manifest themselves. But you've got these teachers that will crud you up. And they'll sit with you in your feet. Like this guy from Washington. Nice looking man sat there, didn't know that my wife sat next to him, though, because he didn't know my wife. So there was a sleeper in the audience. Well, Bob Brown preaches, amen, preacher, brother, hell is there? Behind his hand, but she caught him. Sleeve. Came to my room, told me that I had to listen to them. I should listen to them. I'm tired of these pastors, yes, pastors, who keep quoting Brother Branham to their own ends. The pastor's ordained to see you through. And so Brother Harold Marconda said, you let me know what pastor that is. I'll sit under him because I want to get through. The word ordained is commanded to be responsible. But it seems the most of them simply want your pocketbook and your attendance. We got a small crowd tonight. Doesn't bother me at all. Just goes on tape. You'll get to a very big crowd. Don't worry. They're sitting 22 deep, 15 deep, 20 deep. Preachers are preaching. I got no problem. They preach to one or nobody. Doesn't matter about money. Lots of money comes in the mail. To this church, right? We get checks coming all the time. Or in Columbus. I don't take it off. I don't need it. There's a difference, my brother and my sister. We don't have to do things like that. And they're going to regret it. We're not through preaching yet. Now it tells you, you'll never duplicate this prophet on who you are. It's once for all vindicated. But you're going to lose up the teacher. But even then, the elect will never get deceived, so there's no problem there. Take them for every trick in the book. Rape, which they do, mental rape. Mental seduction, go the whole gamut. I got news. We're on to all this. We're fully aware of what's going on. See? All right. There is a period there, then, that you're literally looking at. And it has to be in the day of the Lord, because the Bible said so, and William Branham placed it. Now, let's understand emphatically. Go back to Zechariah 14. Six to seven and seven. It shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but in that one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass at evening time it shall be light. It come to pass in that day, it says. So you're talking about this time. That the church is going to know the hour in which it is in. Now, that is literally Zephaniah chapter 1, 1 to 7. The word of the Lord came unto Zephaniah, son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, son of Amariah, son of Hezekiah, not Hezekiah, but Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I'll utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. Now, you know that's the day of the Lord talk. I'll consume men and beasts, and will consume the fowls of heaven, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I'll cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. That's Malachi 4. I'll stretch out upon my hand unto Judah, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I'll cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Chemarims and priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and swear by the Lord, and that swear by Malcolm. In other words, you've got a bastardized religion like Catholicism today. Mariolatry, Peterolatry, Paulolatry, and God knows what. Idolatry. And them that turn back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired of him. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand. So he tells you he's going to be present, and you better know the day of the Lord is here too. Because he comes with light and he comes with darkness. That's why it's such a gloomy, funny day. A day that's confusing. But so what? We're used to confusion by now, so praise God. The Lord God has prepared a sacrifice he has bid his guest. Where's the wedding garment? There's a marriage supper going to go on. And you're going to be around what's going to be around? The great sacrifice, our Lord Jesus Christ himself incarnated. Yes. Fully prepared. Through God bringing everything under his feet. The great day. Now, so we said Zechariah 14, 6, 7, or Zephaniah 1 to 7, which is Zephaniah 1 and 8. And it has come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I'll punish the princes and the king's children, and all such are clothed with strange apparel. How did you get in here without a wedding garment? See? And watch. Zephaniah 1 to 7, which is based on 1 to 8, we better read some more. And the same day I'll punish all those leap upon the threshold. Read that. Verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. Hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. He's going to raise the dead. The mighty men shall cry bitterly. That day is a day of wrath. Verse 15, a day of trouble and distress, a day of waste and desolation, a day of grossness. Dark, luminous, and clouds of that are thick and dark. A day of the trumpet. Okay? What about the day of the trumpet? Well, we'll read that on Amos after a while. Alarm against the fenced cities, against the high towers. I'll bring distress upon men that shall walk. They shall walk like blind men, and so on. We read all those things. And their silver and gold won't do them good, even though they said they're rich and increasing goods and don't need a thing. Right? All right. Now watch. Zephaniah 1:16. See? A day of trumpet, a day of alarm against the fenced cities. That takes us to Amos. The third chapter. Sixth verse, shall a trumpet be blown the city? Be blown the city, people not be afraid. Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? Or shall not the Lord do something about it? Is what it is. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared. Seven seals, seven thunders. The Lord has spoken down here on earth. Who can but prophesy? It takes a prophet to tell you. You're right back now to 2 Peter. The word of the Lord, the prophecy which is on the scene at this hour, has been conclusively made known and given to us through the vindicated prophet. The whole thing is wrapped up. This is it, the hour in which we live, but we don't need to be afraid because we're children of light. We're not back here with the world judging anymore. We're in a spiritual vacuum, so to speak. And by vacuum, I mean nothing can come into it. spiritual isolation, I should say, which is better. So Zephaniah 1:16 is Amos 3-6, which is also Malachi 4:1-2, 5 and 6. Wrath, destruction, immortality, tread down the wicked, Elijah coming, the same time God comes to set the thing in order. Which is also Matthew 24:27. As the light shines from east to west, so is the presence of the Son of Man. Which is Luke 17:20-30. The kingdom here. As Brother Branham says, and I think world's falling apart, in 1963 in New York, he is the kingdom. He is here. The king is here. As it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:1, by our gathering together unto him, which is the message bringing us in, which is, without a doubt, Zephaniah 1:1-7, which we read, I'll consume man and beast. Stretch my hand out. I'm going to take in those that worship wrong. I'm going to come against those that turn their back up, that have turned back from the Lord. How many left Brother Branham every time he said something? Why, the man couldn't say a thing, but they began to jibing at him and running off. Well, fine, that's good. The bride's got to be few. So thank God they did it. And those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for him, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord that prepared a sacrifice, he had bid his gift. It will come to pass that the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I'll punish the princes. When we're at the wedding supper, you watch what happens. See, it's all going on right now. That is to say, what is going on is the sense that we're rapidly coming into the complete fulfillment of this whole thing. Now, I don't know how quick I'll cut off here, but we're going to do some reading. Okay, we go to the seals, page 556. We must remember this seventh seal is the end of time of all things. No, he tells you. No, the day of the Lord's got to be a part of it. The Lord's day's got to be a part of it. So he tells you the opening of this has to do with it. Let's read it. That's right, the things written in the seventh seal book, sealed up with the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. It every bit ends. Well, this has got to end too then. The seventh seal opened it. Set it in motion. The sixth seal set in motion. There's nothing that's not set in motion. It is the end of the struggling world. He's going to destroy it. He said so here. It's the end of struggling nature. He said so. It's the end of everything. And there's the end of the trumpet. He said so. No more trumpets going to blow. The end of the vials. No more punishment. The end of the earth. It's the end of time. Time runs out. That's under the seventh seal. Revelation 10, chapter 1-7. Time runs out. The angel said it. Time is no more. In the days of this great thing to happen, everything runs out at this time. The end, this is the end of the seventh seal. Notice, it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seventh seal. It's the end of the trumpet. The end of the vials. Even ends the ushering in of the millennium. Well, what if, well, do we read it? So under the seventh seal that broke, that's in effect, you are not going to escape the Lord's day and the day of the Lord. His presence. Just like firing a rock in the air. Rock explodes and here it goes up. Explodes again. Puts out 5 stars. One of those stars explodes, blows 5 more stars. One of them explodes, blows 5 more stars. See, fades on out. That's of the seventh seal. Just ends the time for the world. It ends the time for this, the time for that, the time for this, the time for that. How's he going to do it? That's what we don't know, isn't it? We don't know. It's even the end. It's even time for all these things and the ushering in of the millennium. Notice the breaking of the seal was so great, heaven was hushed, by it in silence, for a space of 30 minutes. Now, how great is it? Now, he said, listen, he said, it's even time for all these things and the ushering in the millennium. Well, how do you usher the millennium in? Except your resurrection and a rapture and a wedding supper and come on down and take over. Well, that's not the presence of God you can. Yet people can't, they can't shut up and listen. And he tells you how the 24 elders quit. Read your Bible in 24 elders, you'll find some more thoughts, okay? Let's read this. This is about the cloud, the big cloud up there. He said it was either 30 miles high and 27 miles across, one or the other. Life magazine packed it, or look, I think it was Life magazine, May 17 issue, that's it. Now there it is, scientifically proof that it's the truth. So therefore we don't worry about whether truth, both scientific and conspiracy, but what was said has come to pass. So the message of the seven seals and their closing, that's the message of the entire Bible. The seven seals closes, the New Testament seals it up. Now you say, just a minute, I thought it opened it. Well, how you look at it? First of all, the seven seals had closed it. But now that it's open, it can't be closed, it's closed it. Because you can't add or can't take. He knew it was open. That's the truth. Now we know that that is by prophetic utterance, by scientific and by the word. Three has given the witness that it's the truth. Science and prophetic, and here's the word. Just like it says, Peter said. You got this prophecy absolutely made sure. When did science ever have a picture of anything in the past? When did they have that pillar of fire in those clouds? Now people say, well, you're just guessing. Well, that's fine. Then we're guessing. Wonderful. No problem. The word said so, but that's all right. You see who believes the word, don't you? Therefore, we know we're at that end time. We're here. I don't know how far away. He'll never let us know that because his coming will be as a thief in the night. So what's the difference? What do I care? I'd like to get stolen out of here.
Amen.
There's no problem to me. Now let's watch it. Now my friend, my brother, sister, let's get ready. Be ready regardless. Let's just chase ourselves. See? Because the world will go right on. They'll never know even when it know what's happened. When the doors of mercy close, preachers will be preaching salvation. Cause the people to repent. Go right on like they always did. It did in other ages, and it'll be in this age. The rapture will be so sudden and so quick, the world will never miss them if they're gone. That's right. They'll know nothing about it. He comes and slips your way. It'll be gone and nothing about it. So be in prayer for me, I'll be in prayer for you. We don't know when that hour will be. So what's the difference? You're going to get changed before you get snuck out of here. So what's he telling the people? He's telling them that they don't know, and they should know, and there's a people that's supposed to know, and they will know. And it's not the idea you get snuck out of here. It's you better know ahead of time it is and what it takes to get you snuck out of here. Because they're going to be giving altar calls. And it's going to be all gone. They won't even know it. Sure. The reason there that was such a tremendous thing that he spoke of it here and showed those seven thunders and look in Life magazine there packed that circle of light. There they could not understand and don't it yet, but here telling, go there and wait for those mysteries to be revealed in here months before it happened. Then it happened exactly the way he said it would do. So he tells you here about that same thunder, that same circle of light. He also says, now this messenger, Malachi 4 in Revelation 10:7, is going to do two things. According to Malachi 4, it's during the hearts of children of the fathers, too. He'll reveal the mystery of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelation containing the seven seals. That's exactly what the prophet said. All right? Rapture. And those seven seals opened those mysteries and showing those things was happening. I didn't know it. There's a man standing right here who was standing right with me when we heard me preach this sermon, serves what is the time. And that morning, exactly where it said it would be, there stood seven angels standing right from heaven. And as they went up in that whirlwind, took them up there, we standing, watched as they went away. Science took the picture at all, way across the nation down to Mexico. There I was watching. One day when I started to preach those seven church ages, I called Jack Moore, a great theologian. I said, Jack, who is this person standing there? There's one like the Son of Man there, hair as white as wool. I said, he was a young man. How could he have hair as white as wool? And he said, Brother Branham, that was his glorified body. That didn't ring a bell.
But I went in the room and started praying. He let me know what it was. What was it? It was a judge. What was it? He was a deity. Not just a man, God manifest in flesh. But he never came back in that ring. It wasn't a man in that ring. If that was a man in that ring, I don't know. I've never thought of that. Brother Branham said it wasn't his glorified form. So it couldn't have been glorified form. Had to be a theophany form. And there he stood like one of those mighty angels stood there. Just like old Michael when he was in the form of Michael. But there he stood. All right. Now what's he saying? Now John was transmitted from the Isle of Patmos to fear in the Lord's day. This is the day of man. But the day of the Lord will come when these kingdoms become the kings of our Lord and his Christ. Then there'll be the great millennium, the Lord's day, the day of his coming, his judgment. That'll be the Lord's day. So look at how much more evidence do we want? What's going on? Okay. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Notice being personally identified by the original headship, we have the answer to the devil's question. Amen. Glory. We have the answer to the devil's question. He, Christ, is risen and has paid the price in raising up the body. The devil can't stand it. That's the reason these ecumenical kingdoms are setting up. That's the reason they're all coming into what you're doing now. The devil, that's the reason he's howling the way he is. His wickedness, his scheme has been uncovered by the risen, resurrected Christ in the headship over his body. So who's here? Why is Satan howling? Why are organizations coming up the way they are? Because he's here. Back to headship. You think I'm beside myself. I'm not. We've got the devil's answer. Not me. But there was Christ the Word living in me. Now, he's not talking about Paul. He's talking about himself. It's not my idea. It's his power. Not my idea. It's his word. What he said over here. The day of the Lord. This is man's word. This is man's. This man's that. What's this? It's coming into full view. That's what it's doing. And it's coming into full view and a bride, because how in the world are you going to have a kingdom without the subject? How are you going to have a rapture without the bride? How are you going to have anything without a bride? A wedding supper. Not my idea, it's his power. Not my idea, it's his word. He promised it. Here it is. He said it would be here, and here it is. We got his answer. Now what's he talking about? Something Paul wrote or something that's here? Well, I don't believe it's something Paul wrote. I believe it's here. Christ is risen and paid the price for our redemption. What God in Christ manifested, he gave that flesh and blood, that in the blood might come the life and the flesh be redeemed. And that God, that was God in this redeemed flesh, could manifest his word for the day as he did in that day. Now he's telling you, as it was in that day, for this day. You see, oh my. Notice it. And we stand justified in the presence of God. As a drop of ink dropping in a full tub of bleach. You'll never find the stain of the ink no more. It went somewhere and never come back again. And when man is truly redeemed, that predestined received the seed and then accepts it, his sins are demolished. In other words, we're truly redeemed because we see what we see. Which I'm looking down the road. I ain't. See, that's where this church stands. We're not looking down the road. We're not looking back down. We're looking right. We're looking what's in front of us. This is where we differ from just about so many people. It's gone. It's separated. It's dropped into the blood. It's dropped into the, you should say, the the bleach of the blood of Christ. And it's never remembered. God forgets it. And he stands as a son and daughter in the presence of God. Amen and amen. Now he tells you what's here. Now are we the sons of God. Not will be, we are. Now we're redeemed. We have Satan's answer. God has vindicated himself. Has proved himself to his promise in this day. Hallelujah. Headship is here. Well, maybe he's not here. Throw it in that garbage tin. Maybe he's just carried away with his own blah blah, his verbosity, his verbiage, and his hot air. You know what a prophet's all about? This is what I wonder. What do people believe? I preached a sermon. God, prophet, God, there.
Oh, Brother Bear, I do it all the time.
You bet, Hogwash. You bet. The simple things are the deep things. God makes things out of stone. Stone common. But it takes an expert cutter to build a pyramid. Headship is here, amen. Christ the risen Lord. It's here. Notice it. Holy Spirit. And the same power of his resurrection never was manifesting himself. There's the devil's answer. That's the reason this man sitting here dropped dead the other day. We could say, come back, right? Because the Holy Spirit said so. That's why he could do that to that little baby in Mexico that had been dead about 15 hours. The vision came, called her back to life. Let the little baby live. And the baby that the doctors wrote a statement died at 9 o'clock that morning. 11 o'clock came back to life and living today. That's what Paul said. He said, we got this and we dispense it. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. We have this ministry. The church has got it. The lovely brethren that came together and elected somebody and they sit together and they talk. Those lovely brethren got it. Hogwash, they got it. They got it in a herpes. From their sexual intercourse with filth. When they go down with the AIDS, I'll laugh my guts out. If I'm one of them, I'll go to hell with bells on too, just like you said. Because we're calling the shots. You got a vindicated prophet, you got a vindicated prophet. It's this word, brother, see, I don't care what he says. It's living, and it's not just the word, he is here. Logos is here. By the one by whom all things consist, who made all things and consist, he's upholding him now, that one is here. At the head of the church. And that means just one thing. Ain't nothing but the church. That has a true relationship to Almighty God. Everything else is relative. But we're not even related. We're sons apart. Which is, and I'm tired of being identified. I'm not identified, I'm a son. Said, Brother Bale, I'm not identified. Look, kid, forget it. I'm identified. I'm a son. I'm not identified. And he said, identified as a son. No way. No way. I'm a son, period. That's all there is to it. Don't talk about anything else. I'm just tired of all this other fluky stuff thrown here by the theologians. What is it? Not them people, the headship and the body has become one unit. Couldn't be any other time. It's God manifested in his people. That's the reason the husband and wife is no longer twain, they're one. God and his church is one, Christ in you. God the great revelation, glory to God, ever bearing his name. His name is Jesus the Anointed. The reason he's called Jesus, he's the Anointed. And it is the anointed body of Christ proving manifested God, proving manifested God like that body did, the body redeemed. Now, it says like that body did. Now, listen, who's doing it? William Branham was doing it. So, therefore, the body was doing it. Because what's he a part of? He's not God, he's part of the body. And through there, God works his threefold manifestation. Going to the kingdom risen, paid the price. We're redeemed. Redeemed. God proved it. Vindicated. He vindicated, see? And we stand justified in Christ before him because he cannot pass judgment, for he's already judged that body in which I am a part of it. Well, but where do you stand then? You're judged already. What? How am I part of it? Here it is. It's in me. If he abide in me and my words in you, then what you say? Ask the Father in my name, it'll be done. Because it's there. Justified. Glory to God. So, where are you at? Matthew 3 and 12. The fan is in his hand. Matthew 22 and 10. When the seals are broken, you can't reseal it. But it's sealed in this respect, you can't add to it. It's all over. The whole thing is coming to an end. So we see, you can't separate the 2 days, Lord's Day and the Day of the Lord. You can't separate them. But you can identify. So that in identifying and mentally separating, you can place exactly what's going on as to intent and purpose and events and to whom it concerns and to what concerns. And it works out. They are together, but instead of a generalization, there is a particularization or designation to make us know We are already thrust into the hour of destruction, which we will escape, and are ready to start His day with Him. That's right. See? I maintain we are all caught up into it irrevocably, because it'll lose none and are a part of it. We cannot be deceived. The day of the Lord, blinding and opening eyes, destroying and saving, which brings the parallelism of Scripture before us, which people find so hard to understand. In one breath in Isaiah, blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing, blessing, because what's going on anyway? He's talking about two things at one time. Light, darkness. Life, death. Mercy, no mercy. Grace, disgrace. What's the day of the Lord? The day of the vengeance of our God. Absolutely. You run hand in hand. Blinding, eyes, opening eyes. Destroying, saving. That's the day of the Lord. The Lord's day. The great takeover. And there wouldn't be any takeover except for the first. So you're beginning to see. You can't separate them. The prophet didn't separate them. But the differentiation lies there. The day of the Lord, brother, sister, I believe we are into. And because of it, the climax, which is the Lord's day, will bring us right down here. And that's where they're going to fall and squall and wail at our feet. I wish they hadn't done what they'd done. But it's going to be too late. So we just have one thing to say. And that's what Brother Branham said. Come into the ark now by believing His word and separating ourselves from all unbelief. And begin to realize that as it wasn't done in a corner, but as everything was done back in the days of Jesus in His flesh, starting redemption. Now everything has been done openly here and not in a corner to finish redemption. And the book was closed 2,000 years ago, is open. So this is the day of the vengeance of our God and comforting those that mourn. This is the day of the Lord and the Lord's day. But if you understand what is going on, what they signify, it's just like there is one God, but He is judge. There is one God, but He is king. There is one God, but He's Prince of Peace. There is one God, but He's Counselor. There is one God, but He's Mighty God. There is one God, but He's Holy Ghost. There is one God, but He's in the valley. There is one God, He's the Rose of Sharon. You're going to have 4,000 names and titles. He's one God. But everyone signifies. You see, God before us. Now, what I try to get across to people. To me, it's like that pillar of fire folding and infolding. That's exactly what Ezekiel saw. And he saw the whole thing heading up to the Son of Man. God incarnated. The cherubim chariot, the whole thing. You see Him coming around. And there He is back in the days of Abraham. And He stands there naming it. The pillar of fire. God taking the sacrifice, burning it up. Coming back with a great promise. Standing one day before Abraham as a man. There He is, Elohim, flanked by two other men. And there He is, the judge of all the earth. And there He is, the great destroyer. Now watch Him keep coming down. He's down. He's the same pillar of fire in the day of Moses. He goes down and destroys Pharaoh, brings the children of Israel out. It's the same one doing it. And then He said, I'm going to take you to this mountain here, and you are going to be able to worship. See, with the pillar of fire there, we got the same thing going on now. Then one day He came down and became a man in human flesh. Then He died. He went back again. Now He was the Son of Man. And now He's come back in the form of the Spirit. Pillar of fire. William Branham. There it is. And watch the ministry come forth in the form of the Spirit through a man. What was He? Son of Man. Son of God. Son of Man. And so we see Him folding and unfolding and folding and unfolding. And then turning watch the lake. And so you see the facets, the aspects. Today we're in this progressive and wonderfully progressive thing we're into, which is shout, voice, rapture. And we are not going to be here when wrath falls. I'm getting out of here. Yep. Why? Because that's separate off from all unbelief. I left my creeds and my dogmas. Everything else has gone down the ring. Why should I fool with it? Let's rise. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you, my God, that he ever lives to make intercession for us. That we deal with him who was God manifest in flesh, who had a birth different from ours. Though coming by a woman, he didn't come the way we come. There is something entirely different. He was. And he changed the form. And we can't understand all these things, but we appreciate and thank you for it. That here you are again now coming down to show that this one, though coming with the eyes of fire and all, to take vengeance, the great day of the Lord, the Lord's day, sure, all these things, but we know that at that time, in his presence, Elijah stands, and we stand, and now we're redeemed. And here we stand without guilt, without fear. Nothing against us, and we know it. That great, wonderful day. What a day that is, Lord. And we know that it doesn't mean one thing as though we're superior to anybody. We know that. We've already discovered that. We know that. We just know that this is the hour of your preeminence, O God, and that's the way we want it. And if you need, Lord, us out of the way more and more, which I wish we could get out of the way more and more, learn how to do it. To be more and more conformed to your image, which is truly one in the Spirit. Lord, help us. Help each one, Lord, to just realize where each one is tonight. It's really safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on that gentle breast. In the provision of our God, we're hidden away. The enemies can circle us. Let them circle, and they will. How do we know, Lord, which ones of us will die? We don't know. We don't know all what's coming upon the earth, and we know we don't need to know. But we know this one thing. The psalmist said it. The Lord is my light and my salvation, and he will deliver me from mine enemies. And when they compass round about me, I'll just desire this one thing, his presence, be in his pavilion, to inquire of him, to just look to him. He's my headship. He's my all, everything. Give him preeminence as we ought to. Lord, we see so much trouble today amongst men and women that type you and your bride. And we see that women do not give reverence to their husbands. And we know, realize that many, a lot of husbands sure aren't worth it. But when we realize, Lord, tonight that you are a husband and you deserve reverence, absolutely, such reverence, what manner of people we ought to be. And we want to be that kind of people. Help us tonight, Lord, to have more guard upon our very innermost being than ever before, until the outermost being begins to reflect a little more of what we know to be true and what we believe to be true by all of grace and nothing of ourselves. Nothing in our hands we bring, simply to your cross we cling, Rock of Ages, Christ. Thank God for the cleaving. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the life. We cannot praise you enough, Lord. Oh, for us. If we often say, cry out with our 1,000 tongues, it would take billions of tongues. We'd never do it. Billions and trillions of years. How could it do it? If we just stood there and looked and said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Eternities and eternities would never fill it. We know that, Lord. And we don't say it because we just want to be saying something. We know it's the truth. But Lord, let it become dynamized, living truth as never before. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. The Lord love you. Sunday service, of course, 11 o'clock. Take the name of Jesus with you.